Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
For Sunday mornings, Noel, hello, good morning, and wait, Sam, let's wait for it.
Good morning!
All right, now.
There we go. That's what we're waiting for. Wait, but this threw me off. That was a curveball I wasn't expecting. It was one of them backdoor Greg Maddux pitches. I wasn't expecting that one. And I'm wondering, why is The Wizard of Oz top of mind with you? Or is it one of the characters from that movie?
Ding dong, the witch is dead. And the witch in this case, I'm so sorry to say, is Jimmy Lake. Ding dong, the witch is dead. We have taken care of one of the most important things we need to do to improve this team for the offseason, and that is to get a defensive coordinator.
Okay, you got to back up a little bit here and tell everybody who don't know what you're talking about. The Falcons you're talking about.
Yes, so okay. Your Atlanta Falcons have dismissed, alleviated, terminated, whichever adjective you would like to use for Jimmy Lake, your former defensive coordinator. Now, let me say, this has nothing to do with Jimmy Lake personally. I actually think he's a pretty decent guy. But we couldn't get any sacks until our head coach got involved, and that's clear. Now, can I give you guys my theory of what happened week 18?
Go right ahead.
Sure.
Okay. So week 18, as we all watched the game, we saw that little ticker in the left-hand corner, right? That showed us what was going on between the Aints and Tampa, right? We all saw the little ticker in the corner. Well, once that ticker told us all that we were out of the playoffs, in my opinion, that's when it was a decision to go into overtime instead of go for the win. Because now you had a chance to give your defensive coordinator a final exam. It's on you. Can you get a stop in this overtime? Can you give my offense the ball back? And the answer was no. The answer was no.
Very much.
The grade was F. You had 2 weeks. You had the same final exam twice. They gave you a redo. You had the same final exam twice. You failed it twice. So that, to me, was the swan song of the Jimmy Lake defensive coordinator era. Now the question is, who's next? Who's next, guys?
Let me ask you this. Before you try to figure out who's going to coach him, do you have the right players in place? Do you feel?
You need something on every level, which to me makes your draft easier. Because now you can do what you did, whether you like the drafting strategy or not. Now you can do what you did on offense, on defense, because you need something on every level. So pick the best one available and let's go. You need an edge rusher. You need a safety. You need linebackers. You need a D lineman. You need a corner, right? So that's mm-hmm. about every level, right?
Yep, that's true.
So that should make drafting even easier. You're sitting right there at 15, just let them fall right there at 15. Pick the best one.
Now, here's the next question I got for you. This is what folks are saying. So things are being nice and calm right now, and everybody's saying kumbaya, and he's going to stay and be the quarterback. But how much money can these guys negotiate to get off of this Kirk Cousins thing and get somebody else in here? In other words, free up some cash, free up some cap space, and go after some of those players that you're talking about instead of being handcuffed by that contract. And would somebody take him? Because we're going to find out how many folks are really wanting to take a deep dive into getting a starting quarterback this year. And it's going to be interesting. You got Kirk Cousins sitting there here in town. You got whatever is going to happen with them two dudes in Pittsburgh who you don't know, and they're not injured. But I do not believe they're both going to be there next year. So your thoughts on, like I said, Every tear needs some addressing, Noel. How do you free up some of that? And is it through what is now the backup quarterback? Or do you ride with that and get it elsewhere?
You might be stuck there because that's going to take some work from Kurt. Kurt's going to have to help you a little bit to try to get a trade done at all with his no trade clause. And then now to me, there is a possibility, right? Because we saw this season that teams are in a feast or famine situation. You either won four games or you won about 14, right? There wasn't very, very few middle ground teams with us right there at the 7, 8, 9 win slot. It wasn't too many of us this season. It's mostly 4 wins or 14 wins. And so those 4 win teams have to choose between the quarterbacks available, including a Kirk Cousins or an iffy draft class, right? So there is a window, I see, for Kirk Cousins to be moved. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. I think the Falcons are looking at, hey, we owe him $100 million anyway, hook or crook. We gave him $100 million guaranteed. So if that other 10 has to be you sitting behind Penix, well, hey, then that's what it's going to be unless we get something that's advantageous to us there. Now, I do see a Grady Jarrett contract. Not an extension, but like a reworking there to try to free up some money and reworking in some other places. There are some people you probably won't bring back that you brought in as free agents that'll probably free up some money. And then you got to figure out what you're going to do with your tight end with the fifth year option. So it will get interesting this offseason, but the Wicked Witch had to go. The house had to fall on the Wicked Witch. She had to go.
Wow.
Wicked Witch had to go.
That's the way of putting it.
Yeah.
Ding dong.
Yeah. Oh, well, I tell you what. Are we okay at place kicker?
Ooh.
See, that's how I was going there next. Thank you, Sam.
We'll see. Okay.
We know what he's been. He has been steady Eddie.
I mean, he's been the man on the cups.
Yeah,
on the posters. On the promo. Like Koo has been a part of whatever little piece of winning we've had these couple of years, right? So we do know what we've had there. And seeing what was available last minute to bring in here, it didn't look great, right? It didn't look appetizing. Like every time I saw Koo clap on the sideline when he missed a kick, I'm like, yeah, you know your job is safe, don't you? So you might bring in somebody to compete with Koo in the offseason, but I don't see it as a straight cut ties situation. But you got to get some edge rushers. I don't know if you trade to get one. I don't know if you find one on the free agent market. I don't know if you hire scouts to come in and just look for an edge rusher. I don't know how you solve a 20-year problem, but you need an edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But notice I said nothing about the offensive line. Shout out to Caleb McGarry. He showed me a lot being the blind side blocker for the last couple weeks. So clap it up for him. And we're running more zone to the right, so it makes him look better because that's his strength. So clap it up for him.
Okay.
Yep.
The Washington connection looked like it might work out for Caleb McGarry. And we got some hurt players we got to see, like a DeMarco Helms and a Braylon Trice. So there's a lot of positive on the table. I know there's been a lot of tomato throwing and vein popping the past 2 weeks in the city about what's going on with this team. But there are some positive things. There are some building blocks we can have. Mm-hmm. Yes, we wanted to go to the playoffs and then probably lose like the Chargers did yesterday.
Well, you know.
We got the building blocks.
We're 6-3, and I think that's what everybody keeps going back to. I mean, why you get off of that kind of start? It's like Lucy holding the football. You know, come on, we're going to let you kick it this time. We'll let you kick it this time. And we got that big running start, and we ran that lead back. And as you look up at your feet, before you embrace yourself for the impact, you know what I mean. That's what happened to us again. So I mean, that's kind of where we're at.
And the crazy part is your defense improved in that stretch. So you got more out of your defense. You got some really special teams in that back half of the season. But the most important position on the field just fell off a cliff. I don't know if it was mentally, physically, both. I don't know. But he just fell off a cliff. And once that happened, like you saw the team. Once we beat the Raiders and it didn't feel like a win,
yeah,
I think that's when the entire city decided, oh, okay, Kurt, it might be time for a nap.
Yeah.
And now he's going to take a long one.
And I'm curious to see if that ever comes out, if it was something physical that led to something mental, you know, that would cause that kind of decline. A steep decline. This was falling off the edge for someone who had been the conference, conference offensive player of the week twice.
Right.
Just inexplicable.
And for me, you could tell, in my opinion, I could tell he was starting to feel the pressure cooker. Because this city is a sports pressure cooker. And I think it goes unnoticed by the national media or people that aren't here. But, like, this is a very passionate, intense sports town that is starving to, like, be relevant or to get wins. And the longer this goes on, the more rabid it gets. And I think Kirk Cousins kind of fell into the middle of that, because by the time we got to the Minnesota game and he was refusing interviews with Minnesota media, that was a red flag for me.
You know, Sam, when I sit here and listen to Noel with the passion that she has in saying what she's saying, it almost sounds like it's flipped. This city was always considered part of Georgia, which was, this was college football country. It was, and it wasn't pro sports. And if I'm listening to her, you're letting me believe that it is flipped in your mind. Is that the case?
Well, for me, it's always been that. Like college is cool. I've always been the person to say, if they're meant for me to see, I'll see them in the NFL. So it's been the past okay. 10 years that I've really like started to really get into college football and you know, keep an eye on it and kind of know what's going on. But for me, it's always been like the passion of this city and trying to put this city on the map. Like Jermaine Dupri has a quote where he said, you know, you see those T-shirts and you see Tokyo and London and Chicago and New York. We want to be on that T-shirt, and we want to be on that T-shirt in the sports world as well. And that's why there's so much passion and ire and anger in this city. Whether I feel it's misplaced or not, I understand where it's coming from and why. And I get it. I mean, I watched my father do the same thing for 30 years with the Vikings. All he did was stand down there and yell for 17, 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah, well, we ain't Minneapolis. This is on that. This city is on that shirt. This city, it might have been there. It might not have been one of the originals, but it's there now. It's absolutely there now.
Yeah, I think when you talk about college and football, I think college has been more consistent, and I think that's the thing. Down through the years, the college football, even when Tech in its heyday, you know, the people could count on the college football teams to win, and that's something that hadn't always been the case with the NFL team. And like I said, we've been like Lucy holding the football for us. We've been waiting, and that's what's got our blood boiling right now. You know.
I wanted to throw this out to Noel. I know we got to go here. And, you know, there's lines of delineation with professional sports. I absolutely believe that. I know that baseball, you can decide whether or not it was Jackie Robinson or it was the move to the West Coast or it was Curt Flood losing his trial, but then that beginning of free agency. But in the NFL, most people will tell you the line of delineation happened on this day that took it from where it was to where it is right now. Today was the day that Super Bowl III happened, and the New York Jets beat the Baltimore Colts.
I guarantee it.
And the AFL beat the NFL for the first NFC for the first time. And I mean, and people forget about Shula's connection to this game. They all think about Shula with Miami, but he was a Baltimore.
He was.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know Joe Namath's quote, him being the MVP, all of that thrown into a blender. This, and then of course because of this game. You know, it, like I said, it just took things to the next level. Kansas City started coming up in there, and so this is the day that the Super Bowl III happened, and the New York Jets beat Baltimore 16-7. So again, you can say this was the day that it took things off there.